This is the MLWRadio.com network.
Welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network, as well as on cagematch.net. I'm your host, Riga, and as always, joined by Dylan. And Dylan, you also got some things cooking that we got up on Cage Match, right?
Yeah, you know, interesting times. You know, first of all, the thing that I am so happy with is Lucha Talk coming back after a years-long absence.
2 years, actually, almost, right?
Yeah, 2 years almost exactly, the last episode.
Yeah. Downloaded the news show. I haven't gotten around to listen to it, but tomorrow I think it will be a good day.
Yeah, me and Fredo and Microman Fever, it was so good to talk to them, you know, just as friends and stuff. Crazy things going on up and down, and then we get together, and it's like, man, these are my friends. You know, we talked so much. The show itself was a really loose vibe, but we were just kind of catching up. I mean, how do you catch up on 2 years, right?
Yes.
So it was a very loose vibe show type of deal. No real set topic. We talked about everything. CML, AAA, they announced the Omega and Vikingo match, which is probably of interest to a lot of people. Talked about luchadors in the U.S. with AEW and WWE. Yeah. They have a lot of stuff going on. The Backlash show happened. Yeah, it was good. Really fun show to listen to. The other show, Wrestle Update.
Before you go through that, Dylan, actually, I got one important Lucha question.
Sure.
How do you rate Vikingo's Canadian Destroyer into the pool of water?
That obviously has to be a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was like, when you see stuff like that, yeah. So there was this Lucha show that got like flooded, like with yes, with rain. like
usually you'd think they cancel the show, but no, not a Lucha show. No,
no, this is Lucha Libre. We do not cancel shows like that, baby. Here, but yes, there's flooding, and yes, there was a Canadian destroyer into the water. It's not a Canadian destroyer. It's just a destroyer.
A destroyer. Yes. I saw the tweet that Lucha Blog made, and he called it the quote modified ocean, and I laughed so hard at that.
That, listen, Cubs fan is the man. Like he's always a legend, good friend, brave, one of the bravest people. Besides me, it's going to be a Lucha Underground at the end. I felt like we were the only two people that survived.
I was watching as well. So
it was the three of us.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't want to leave you out.
I watched the infamous final scene in the limousine, yes.
And we all made it through it together, I like to think. But much like that, me and Cubs are also braving watching the Cubs play baseball, which is a scary thought in and of itself. But it's like I always say when me and Fredo talk, you know, well, in this case, it's not where I'm from. It's just they were on TV. But I didn't choose them. They chose me at the end of the day. So shout out to all the great people out there that follow the Cubs and follow Lucha Libre. The other show, Wrestle Update, me and Scott Edwards, a 5-star network. Yeah, our first episode, we covered everything, really, in the U.S. scene. It was a crazy week with stuff going on, title tournaments, angles, storylines. If you're a fan of American wrestling or just want to know about it, maybe you don't want to watch it, you just want to keep up with it, check out Wrestle Update. I was really very proud to get on there, like I said, with so much going on in the world of wrestling in America, too. But that's going to lead to some great things, too, because, you know, obviously Forbidden Door is coming up for AEW.
Yeah.
WWE has some Japanese influence in it. You know, you got Asuka in a big angle on SmackDown right now. You know, one of the best to me in the whole world of any country.
Was confused slightly because I thought you said Asuka, but you said Asuka. Okay.
Yeah, Asuka. Not all caps.
But the German guy.
No, not Oscar Louisville. No, Asuka. Yes. Like Kana, you may have known her.
Yeah.
Io had an amazing match in Puerto Rico, like for a Backlash. She's doing big things. Nakamura has a new fresh cone of paint. So, some old favorites that are there, they're doing their thing, actually having some success, and better than some people that are left have right now. We're going to talk about one of them on this show for sure. But Wrestle Update, Lucha Talk, and Eastern Lariat. What a triple threat of shows. Pretty much every major country of wrestling covered outside of the European area, the zone of European wrestling. But, you know, a lot of fun stuff going on there. And I always say, too, if there's a match that's maybe a lucha match from outside of Mexico, send it to me if it's really good, because I always like giving props to smaller wrestling, smaller countries when it comes to wrestling. Like, you know, maybe not mainstream. So we had a lot of fun on there. Wrestle Update was a good time, too. It's going to be interesting to see how that evolves in the coming months, because there's going to be, you know, there's changes. Perhaps the world of American wrestling is so unique, yeah, especially compared to Japanese wrestling, where it's a little bit, well, Japanese wrestling is kind of crazy, too. So I think we should get to some of the insanity or even just the questionable decision makings and sometimes just bad luck.
Oh, yeah, sometimes just bad luck. That's the topic that we are starting with. So this is actually, yeah, this is pretty much going to be the Best of the Super Junior halftime show, because we are six shows in. But before that, we got to address what happened in All Japan Pro Wrestling recently. Of course, since our last show, all hell broke loose because Shotaro Shino in the Champion Carnival final broke his arm, and that really came out of nowhere for me, because obviously we two watched the match, and during the match there really wasn't anything noticeably that was wrong with Shotaro Shino. At least I did not like see it in the match. Maybe if you go back and watch it again, you may see something, but first time watching, I didn't see anything. Yet, yeah, he is out. So they did a show today, May 18th. They did a show in Shinkiba First Ring, a show that they lauded really heavily, and I don't think that they planned on doing that, because they did the Triple Crown Contendership match between T-Hawk and Ryukyo Honda in the absence of Shotaro Ashino. And if you had that in your predictions for 2023, gotta congratulate you, but that would have been a really wild call and something that I would say is really going out on a limb. Because if you predicted that in 2023 a New Japan wrestler would defend the Triple Crown of All Japan Pro Wrestling against a great wrestler, probably would have called you crazy, right?
I mean, it was definitely unexpected, but I think with perhaps a new quadruple crown champion, we could see a big change coming in the world of Japanese wrestling. What a terrible thing for Ashino, though.
Yeah,
to have the arm break. It's said that he broke it with minutes to go in the match. He just wrestled through it. Mm-hmm. His adrenaline must have been so crazy going in, and just how much it meant to him to win this. And that emotion definitely shined through when he won.
Yeah.
Just him hugging the trophy and crying, and it felt like this huge moment for him personally.
Yeah, and he had this great speech where he said that anybody can overcome anything, and just, yeah, he couldn't overcome the second really bad injury for him, but because the last time he really caught some attention to him in All Japan was during his run with Honda as the tag team, and he got injured as well.
Yeah, yeah.
He was out for a couple of months as well. And now he's out again. We don't know how long. Could be anything between 3 and 6 months, I read, with this injury. Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's really unfortunate. So now we got Yuji Nagata versus T-Hawk for the Triple Crown. And whereas in the instance of Shotaro Ashino facing Yuji Nagata, I would have said that Ashino probably has a chance of 80% winning this match.
Mm-hmm.
But with T-Hawk, I think the chances are very slim that he ends up on top of All Japan before we go to All Together.
You can't write it off only because we don't know if New Japan is going to make a call about that. You know, maybe like have to have they got him back. But I mean, if you were going to do that, you would think you would have had somebody else.
But then again, look at the results that we had between New Japan and Great.
That's true.
They don't really consider Great a company that they would send anybody to lose to.
Well, to be fair, Shima had a great run in the tournament, and they won matches as a tag team with T-Hawk, Lindemann,
and
Shima.
Yeah, that's true.
And Nagata doesn't mean anything, really. Nah. It would just be a power play. Like I said, I think Nagata will win, overall. I'm pretty much with you, but I can't put it at zero either, just because we don't know the politics of that. Maybe there's some rule that, that they don't want him with the title. I don't know why they wouldn't. But companies like weird things sometimes that isn't easily understood by outsiders. So that's the only thing I would say. But obviously, if there's no political interference or anything like that, then yeah, I think Nagata will keep the title until they can put it on somebody that they would want. Because I don't think, I know T-Hawk wasn't the end game, or he would have won the tournament.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Like, would be great if they eventually can do the match between Nagata and Ashino, because there is this clearly written story about Ashino not being able to challenge when he was supposed to, working his way back to then fighting the champion and winning the title. Would be a great story. But as you mentioned, maybe there is going to be a call made. Maybe All Japan wants to go into a different direction. Maybe Nagata isn't even supposed to be champion after this show. So, who do you think is there to take the triple crown of Nagata? Would it be the three obvious ones, Miyahara, Suwama, or Ishikawa?
I don't think it would be Ishikawa, because I think he has been downgraded pretty much, and they already had a title match this year. Suwama, Kento, definitely heavily threats. This terrible thing about Ashino's injury, too, on top of just for Ashino, I think it hurts any kind of plans they would have in the future, because the title's kind of up in the air. A lot of people speculate that maybe Yuma would have ended up with the title. Ashino would have won it now, and then exactly. But now this kind of messes up that plan.
And they have this. They had this article on Tokyo Sports. Let me pull it up here of Yuma Aoyagi saying that he is the self-appointed leader of All Japan in All Together. So that will make sense as well.
Yeah, exactly. So, but there's not enough time for that now.
No,
unfortunately, because it's like right after this title match.
Yeah, they didn't position him in the champion carnival strongly enough to.
No, not at all.
No, to legitimate him going for any title.
No, I mean, it's one of those things that you definitely, even in foresight, though, I think that was kind of a mistake. He should have been more of a focus, mm-hmm. but
yeah, sure.
I thought he was definitely like performance wise. He, to me, was probably the MVP, in my opinion. If you look at his run,
he had the strongest matches.
Yeah, and the most consistent. Like, T-Hawk had some great matches, but he also had some stinkers, too. And, like, some stuff where they were booking him at weird angles with the roll-up pins. I hated that last year. They brought it back a little bit. Kento always, doing his thing. Kojima wasn't really a factor. Yuma, to me, was the MVP of the tournament. He's the ideal candidate. Do they consider him beating Nagata the right time, though? And I actually think, again, story-wise, because we said this, remember? They did this Jidai group to get the title back to All Japan, and the one who won the tournament was not in the group. So if they can rewrite, if they can reset things a little bit to where one of them...
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't take long to heat up Yuma Aoyagi, to be quite honest.
Well, there's just nobody else. Like, if you look at, there's nobody in front of him.
Suwama is feuding with Kongo.
Yep.
Kento Miyahara is pretty much just a mid-carder right now, just waiting for his next opportunity to go anywhere. Honda got beat. They don't have an own wrestler to face Yuji Nagata. He's someone from the outside. So if Nagata can stick around for like 6 more weeks, they could position Yuma Aoyagi to be the one to dethrone him.
Yeah, I think that's the ideal case.
It would be a blessing in disguise, to be quite honest, actually.
Yeah, I agree. I think that would probably work better for the story and work better for beating Nagata. Like, I think beating Nagata may be a big check mark for Yuma, rather than Ashino, who he's already wrestled a bunch of times. You know, where they go from there, I don't know. It's tough because, remember, they'll have the Royal Road tournament, the Odo, later on. And I think a lot of people kind of speculated that that's maybe where Yuma would have got it for this injury. Maybe Yuma could have won the tournament and then beat Ashino for the title in September at a big show. Yeah. And, you know, and that's the thing. We don't really – do they have a big show? Like, because last year we obviously had the Budokan show. But this year, you know, there's no big show really to point to.
Not really a, like, Budokan level or Ryogoku level show. Yeah. They got Yoyogi National Stadium number 2 for September 8 and for December 31st.
Okay, well, that September show would be good if they could work it out there. Like, if they could hold off until there.
I really like the Yoyogi shows that happened in the last couple of months. The Tradition ran there, for example. JTO, Takata Ichi Mania, Takata Ichi Despi Mania was there too. It was always a great crowd at hand for these shows.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that would be a great thing. If they could stretch it, then you could always, if they wanted to just press the emergency button, just have Kento win it, like, really quick, you know, in June, give him a little bit of a run, like a couple of months, and then have Yuma beat him.
Yeah, they don't have anything in June, actually. They have a show in Mashida, in Masashi Takada's hometown, and he's on the card as well. They have a tag match there, Kento Miyahara and Yuma Aoyagi versus Uwama and Yuma Anzai. They could set up someone there, because Nagata is on the same show as well. And then they have the Dynamite Series in June, where they have Kurken on June 15.
Yeah, so this is kind of a tough spot, you know, if they wanted to do that. That's probably not the ideal situation. No. But, I mean, this injury kind of, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Derailed lots of things.
Yeah.
Again, yes, that is very unfortunate for All Japan Pro Wrestling. But now, just... looking at the card that we have for May 29 for Kurikan Hall, we got a special 8-man tag. Satoshi Kojima, Yoshitatsu, Raizen Hayato, and Oji Shiba face Toru Yano, Black Menzeroi, Mitsuya Nagai, and Kotaro Suzuki, the most likely quadruple team of all time.
What's Kotaro doing in there?
I have no idea. He just beat Black Menzeroi today in a singles match too. I don't know why they bring him in to do these weird matches.
He's a legacy player in All Japan.
What? Not really, actually.
He was a legacy player of the Shiraishi era.
Great legacy, yeah.
Yeah, yes, you know, the XC days. Are there. Yeah, so come on.
Then we got a great match, actually, lined up. Special six-man tag, Hikaru Sato, Den Tamura, and Ryo Inoue face the Young Lions of New Japan Pro Wrestling, Yuta Nakashima, Oiwa, and Kosei Fujita, which should be great again.
Yep.
Kind of a rematch from the last big show. Junior title on the line. Naoki Doi defends against Atsuki Aoyagi, and this screams like Aoyagi is taking the title back. Probably. Kento Miyahara and Yuma Aoyagi against Minoru Suzuki and Hokuto Omori. They are positioning Omori really strong in recent weeks. He was in the carnival. Wasn't really one of those outstanding players. Was okay there. Picked up a couple of wins. I think they consider him one of those guys that they wanted to push.
Yeah, I thought he did better than I expected in terms of wins. I mean, he went from 0 wins in the junior tournament to getting 3 in the champion carnival right away.
Yeah, that's good. So the next match is actually really a lame duck match because they announced it at the same time that they announced the Triple Crown match. Initially, now we know who is the opponent. Initially, it was Yuma Anzai versus the loser of the number one contendership match. So Yuma Anzai now faces Ryukyu Honda, whereas Nagata faces Tiok, of course. Good card.
Yeah, that could be a fun show. There's a couple of matches that look good. Obviously, the main event is really going to be what it hangs its hat on, which I think could be a great match.
Yep.
You know, T-Hawk, he had my match of the month in April versus Ishida in great.
Wow. Really good match. Have you already seen the T-Hawk and Jack Shimatani match?
Yeah.
Was it good?
I thought it was good. Not as good as the Ishida match, though.
Okay.
The Ishida match was, like, to me, a great
match. Yeah, it was really great, yeah.
Yeah, like I said, But yeah, he's good, and he'll have a really good match with Nagata, I think. I mean, Nagata, for his title matches, he's delivered pretty well, even against Ishikawa. I thought the Kento match was a great match. Ishikawa, they had a lot of heart in that match. You know, they did a lot of good things there. And I think with T-Hawk there, all you need is T-Hawk to chop the hell out of this guy. And you're going to have a great... you're going to end up with a great one.
By the way, Dylan, I don't know if you've seen him already, but there is a new contender for the King of Chop in Dragon Gate. His name is Ryuya Tanaka. He had an exhibition match with Kagetora, and it was all chops.
Good. That sounds like my kind of wrestler.
Yeah. So, that was All Japan. Before we go to New Japan, we got a couple of matches lined up for All Together on June 9. We got Tomohiro Ishii, Hiroki Goto, and Yoshihashi against Masaki Tamiya, Yoshiki Inamura, and Daiki Inaba. There is beef, Dylan.
Yeah, I mean, this is like all my favorites.
Yes!
this match was made for me almost. You know, Inamura, man, he is going to go off against Ishii and Goto and Yoshihashi as well. Just to me, three of the best workers in New Japan. The Noah team, everybody loved the Inaba and Kitamura reign. Inamura, everybody loves just on his own. I mean, there's no way this match isn't going to just be great. That, to me, was the match that stood out as, in just in terms of wrestling, that I was so hyped for.
Yeah, great. Great stuff, actually. It should be a great match. Then we got a match between LIJ and a crossover team. That's a weird crossover. Tetsuya Naito, Shingo Takagi, and Bushi face Yuji Nagata, Suwama, and Yuma Anzai. Suwama is in such a weird position. He, to the public, he is this figure that is supposed to represent All Japan, and he does that really well. He's this guy I think he's a probation officer. There was an article about him doing that. He's doing all this charity work while in the ring, he is the leader of the Voodoo Murders, this outlaw group that runs havoc on All Japan Pro Wrestling. And here on All Together, he's also supposed to represent his company while still being this outlaw dude. This entire gimmick is just so stupid.
Hopefully they break this whole thing up soon because they kind of... Well, they've teased it so many times.
They've teased it for months now.
yeah, they teased it multiple times and they always get back together. So I don't think we can just... No. Automatically presume that he's
the power of Taurus Ultra Hand, you know.
Yeah, that's not what I would do if I were in charge of All Japan, but that's how it's happened. You know, we can't change it, unfortunately. Who was the third member of that team? Was Bushi the third guy?
Yeah, it's Naito. Takagi and Bushi.
Yeah, so I'm thinking Bushi's probably taking the fall on that.
Hopefully, I think Yuma Anzai gets the win here.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, this seems like it could be a vehicle to push Anzai.
And Naito is really high on Anzai, so that's, let's go.
Yeah, I think everyone alive is high
yes,
on
Anzai. Yeah.
I said, just watch him wrestle. I think everybody could be high on him. But yeah, he's got the. Nagata loves him, obviously. Everybody knew that even when he first got in there. You know, Nagata really wanted him for New Japan. So it's like everybody recognizes that this guy is a dude. I actually think if all things had worked out, he would have gotten a title shot versus Ashino. Because remember, he beat him in the Champion Carnival. And I think they would have set that up. I don't know if they'll do it now without Ashino there. But I think he's going to be a guy that no matter where he's at, he's a threat. And if he's in a big spot here, which he is, just being in the match is a big spot, being one of the first three introduced match. Yeah, I think I could definitely see this being a vehicle for him more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good, yeah. And then we got the obvious trio in the main event with Hiroshi Tanahashi and Kento Miyahara and Kaito Kiyomiya, the three that were on the press conference. They face Katsushika Okada, Yuma Aoyagi, and Kenno. Another chance for Okada to make Kaito look like a geek, right?
That's what everybody said as soon as this match was announced. That was the first thing everyone went to. I don't know about this match overall, because when you look at it, honestly, he does seem kind of like the most likely person to take the fall.
But with like Tanahashi kind of going down the totem pole in New Japan,
Yeah.
It's not impossible that he's the one taking the loss.
Yeah, I can buy that totally. Overall, you could do a couple of things, because remember, Okada and Tanahashi are a tag team right now in the six-man titles. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to kind of build some kind of feud between them, or grudge between them, so to speak, play off their old rivalry. And I mean, if Tanahashi were to lose to the other two, I mean, that would be a huge win for either.
That would be a huge win, but it seems to me that in Japanese wrestling right now, everybody is really high on Kenno.
Yeah, he's all over the place, right?
He's all over. Like, he's also opening these big Noah shows just to go out there and do the mic job. But so apparently, like, he's the dude right now.
Yeah, and well deserved. I think he's on a
he's awesome.
Yeah, he's on one of the best runs of his career, and he's always been a great wrestler back 15 years ago in Impro. Mm-hmm. But he's like just at a different level now with his mic work, among the best in the whole country. Yep. And yeah, if he were to win, I could totally get down with that. You could set up multiple things with him. I don't know if this I honestly don't think this show, actually, though, I will say, I don't think it's about setting up anything for the future. Ultimately, like this is like a feel good type of all together type of show, pretty much. So, if you put a gun to my head, I would say Okada's probably getting the win. Over Kaito.
Yeah, probably yes. Probably.
Yeah.
Kenno is so good that he even made being put in a body bag work for him to put him over and not the dude putting him in the body bag.
That's the magic of Kenno. I mean, you can put him in any situation.
Yes.
Because he's like the perfect mix of like respected wrestler and goofy guy.
That's why him versus DDT worked so well.
So brief. Like, they never got enough out of that they should have. Like, they had so much to do. But, I mean, it's working in Dragon Gate. It's working in All Japan. Works in Noah. You know, if they wanted to do something, I think he would be a great person to call upon. Obviously, we don't... Hopefully, that's another good thing that may come out of that show, is maybe it could, hopefully mend some bridges between New Japan and Noah, because they're kind of in a rocky spot. They have been for the last, years, pretty much. Even the first show they did, like, a year and a half ago, that had some gripes coming out of it. Yeah. Hopefully they can kind of massage that. I think if New Japan's smart, bring Kenno over for a tag run there. I mean, he's a tag champion everywhere else.
Kenno in the G1 was so awesome.
Oh, that's the dream, right? Over there, that would be a dream. But I think even a tag run would be interesting. You could kind of give him another belt to fly off of. He'd be like the uniter of the companies, kind of. I think you can do it. He'd have to have a
different partner. Not like New Japan doesn't have enough belts to throw around.
I mean, that's true. I mean, what are you gonna do? You draw an evil as the champions,
Yeah.
Yeah, like if you're gonna, they're getting the title shot. So if you're just gonna do them, why not just put Kenno and somebody as the champion overall? But he's doing his own thing too, and Noah with the Nakajima split thing too. So he's got a lot going on. Kenno, what a great wrestler overall.
Yep, absolutely. So that is then the bridge that we have to turn towards New Japan Pro Wrestling and their Best of the Super Junior 30 that is going on right now. We're at the literal halfway point of the tournament, May 18th. At the point that you're listening to this show, the next show probably already will have happened, so we can't go into the results from that show. So we are going to talk about all 20 competitors here in this tournament, Dylan, going through the standings right now. As we're speaking on top of Block A, we have Mike Bailey. Dylan, the impact, the impact that Mike Bailey has made in New Japan Pro Wrestling has been tremendous. On the show today, he even was on commentary with Kevin Kelly, and I'm so impressed with Mike Bailey and how humble he is about himself. Like, he's able to, of course, French is his native language. He speaks English, Spanish, French. Oh no, French is his native language, right? Yeah, French. He speaks all these languages, and he's also pretty fluent in Japan. He says he can have a conversation in Japanese. just a great talent when it comes to languages, and an even better talent when it comes to the in-ring side of wrestling. Great matches throughout the tournament so far. I don't know if that's a controversial opinion or not, but my favorite match of the tournament so far has been his match with Kushida. It was a mid-card match of one of the earlier shows. I was just completely blown away by the psychology of that match. It was such a great blend of junior heavyweight wrestling and a martial arts approach of all the strikes and submissions that, that both guys did, with also Kushida rocking his new Sakuraba-like trunks there. It was a match that started actually with a high kick from Mike Bailey against the post and was the one of the few wins that Kushida actually got in the tournament.
The only one,
until this point, against the block leader of them all. And it ended because of the kick that Bailey placed on the post, because Kushida then submitted him with a leg lock. So really, really great psychology, great junior wrestling, great martial arts style. Just completely loved the match. And also, something that I noticed here today on this show, Mike Bailey had the opening match with Doki, and Doki also is one of those guys that really is coming into his own, not as a wrestler. He's been great as a wrestler, but as a character that is appealing to the crowd more and more and more in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And what makes these two guys stand out to me, Bailey and Doki, is that they are complete loose cannons. You know certain things that you can expect from a Doki or from a Mike Bailey match, like Bailey does the Ultimate Weapon, does his kicks, does the Flamingo Driver. Doki is going for the Suplex de la Luna, for the Italian stretch that is famously known as the Doki Chokey. But every time that these guys get into the ring, you can expect something unexpected. And that's just a great, great appeal for a junior wrestler, for any wrestler that is going into the tournament like this. So completely love both of these guys in this tournament.
To me, Bailey has been the guy that has really impressed me. Obviously you knew he was going to be one of the top stars, just being formatted as the outsider, mm-hmm. you know, the big star outsider they had. But, you know, I see some of his work on the indies and I see why people like him, but he's not really my style of wrestler usually, to be honest with you. You know, like there's a lot of like great.
Yeah.
Moves,
I kind of know what you're talking about. There's some hits and misses. I was in the building for his, the match against Cara Noir back then, 16 karat gold, the final between them. There was a lot of people in the building that loved the match, but I wasn't really into it. So there can be misses with him as well.
Yeah, but I mean, in this tournament, it's been, I thought he's like, there super no great. Misses. Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, he's really impressed me and been one of my favorite guys. I thought that, I'm totally with you, String. That was one of my favorite matches too, the match with Kushida. I think I have a lot. There's no one match that's really made me think, like, this is the match of the year, like, better than everything else. Like, there's no match like that. There's just a lot of really great matches that, yes. you know, that you can point to. Because I think the match with Titan the next night.
Oh, was a, yeah.
Yeah, like, that was as good, you know, as that. It's just a completely different style, too. You know, Bailey's worked together with everybody. Him versus Hiromu was, like, this all-out. You know, spot match, you know, crazy stuff going down. You have Kushida, like, with the martial arts stuff. I thought the match with TJP, that was a really strong match where he got to show a little bit of mat game stuff that I was really impressed by. Mm-hmm. Everything he's worked, everybody he's worked, he's just done a great job. I'm totally high on Bailey. To me, he's a, yeah, again, there's so much good stuff that I don't think there's anyone that's, like, totally taken the reins and said, this is by far, like, the Ishii of the tournament. Like, he's having all of the best matches. It's clear that he is the guy. There's nobody like that, but only because there's so many good performers in the tournament.
Yes.
But he's a front runner to me as one of the MVPs of the tournament for sure.
And that really, what you just said, is one of the quintessential points of this entire tournament. Like most of the shows that have happened until now, I would rate between 7 and 8. This show, first show actually got a 8.0 rating, almost flat. There are some matches on the undercard that aren't that exciting, but then there are matches on top that are very good, but not like match of the year level good. But the overall vibe of this tournament and how it is structured is just so incredibly good. I want to give you this one example of the match that Leo Rush has had in this tournament, because on back-to-back nights, he first defeated Hiromu Takahashi, and then he defeated Taichi Ishimori. And in both matches, he sustained a lot of damage. Even in the match against Taichi Ishimori, he was very close to tapping out to Ishimori's bone lock, because Ishimori had been working over the arm all the time in the match. And Leo Rush was on this great run, and he defeated Taichi Ishimori, so he was 4-0 in this tournament. And he was off and running. Then he faced Doki. And the match that they had was really short, 5:43. But that completely played into the storyline of Leo Rush. He beat Takahashi and Ishimori, but he also survived these two matches barely. But then the damage was so severe that he lost to Doki the next night. And that really was the perfect upset, because of course, you would have thought that Leo Rush clearly beats a guy like Doki. But then again, it makes complete sense in this certain situation that Doki would beat Leo Rush after all the damage sustained. So the way this tournament is booked, really hats off to Gedo. And that is one of the reasons, I think, that he has preserved his position for so long, is of these kind of tournaments that he is able to put together with, in a lot of different situations. And this one is just a great example of that.
Yeah. You know, I really love the tournament Rush has had too. He's another guy that I think has been, you know, a perennial MVP candidate from the start. Mm-hmm. Him and Hiromu, I thought, was a fantastic match.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, that at the time was probably my match in the tournament until the next couple of days happened. So I really love Rush. I mean, this guy's just been a revelation the whole time, though. Ever since he's got to New Japan, it feels like he's had a new gear that he didn't have before. And to the point where he really helped Yo along and find a different gear in his own career with the tag team. Him and Hiromu had a great match in March, too, for the title. I always recommend that. Mm-hmm. And then they had a much different style match here in the tournament, where it was much more aggressive, I thought, than the other one. And like you said, the stuff with him and then Ishimori bridge directly into the Doki getting the win. So that's really good booking there. That's the kind of tournament booking that appeals to me. It makes it feel like every match matters. It's not just all in a vacuum, and really cool to see. So yeah, like Leo Rush definitely up there again. Another great performer.
Do you think that, so he won 4 in a row and now he dropped 2 matches to Doki and to Titan. That means that Titan has the tiebreaker over Leo Rush now, whereas Leo Rush has the tiebreaker over Hiromu and Taiji Ishimori. Do you think that he'll continue losing, or do you think that he'll bounce back? Because I think he bounces back.
Yeah, you know, there's... There's three matches left, right?
There are 3 matches left for each. I think that he maybe loses another one, so they can tell a story where he really becomes this sympathetic babyface that had a great start, but now is in the situation where he's really, really deep in deep waters in this tournament, so that the people, the fans, get even more behind this guy and cheer him on to finally scratch and claw and barely make it to the semifinals, I think. That's the idea that I have.
I think he'll lose his next match because Kushida has to win something.
Exactly. It would exactly work out, yeah.
And his last match is against Bayley.
See?
And I could see that being like whoever wins goes to the semis type of deal. Like that would make a lot of sense, like with how things played. So yeah, I could see that overall. Did you have a prediction? I think we're talking about this now. Did you have kind of a prediction for the tournament going in about who you thought might be the final?
I was thinking before the show, but I don't think I did have a prediction.
I predicted it would be Hiromu versus Desperado.
Yeah, I know.
And I think that's kind of where I'm still leaning towards as we go along, because I think it would make perfect sense for Bayley. To me, the semifinals would be Bayley versus Hiromu, and Hiromu gets his win back. And then Hiromu gets to the finals that way.
I would probably go with Hiromu Takahashi against Lio Rush in the final.
Well, they can't. They're in the same block.
But no, they can be in the final.
They'd have to be the semifinal, you mean?
No, they are in the same block, Dylan. They are in the same block.
Yeah, so they can't face... The A block winner would have to face the B block winner in the final.
Yes, but they can be in the finals together.
And how would that happen?
Because the A block winner faces the B block second, and the B block second faces the B block first, and there can be a final between two guys from the same block.
Oh, okay. Well, they announced that then. Okay, yes. Sorry. Yes. Misunderstanding then. Yes. I guess you could say.
That would lead to the second match between them after their great match in March, and could then lead to the trilogy between the two guys. That would be really cool too.
I think Desperado is winning the tournament. Like, I'd be very, very surprised if it wasn't him overall. Like I said, so I think that would kind of... I think Hiromu and Desperado will be the final.
I mean, Desperado is obviously the running favorite for a lot of fans.
Yeah. But I mean, if Rush did win, I'd be happy with it. Like, he's awesome. Yeah, like I said, like, he's great. I think he's been one of the standout players. Again, since the tag league, I thought he's had a great run. So, yeah, I'd be all for that, actually.
Yeah, it would be really cool for him. So since we talked about him already in the match against Lio Rush, Dylan, what do you think about Taiji Ishimori so far in the tournament?
He's good. The only thing about him is it's always the same thing with him. It's the talent is always there. It's just, will he be motivated? You know, like, and we've seen when he's motivated, he's still really good. And I think that that's been a great thing to see in the tournament, because I had some questions about him coming in. Like, what's he going to do in the tournament? Obviously, they started off with that really short match with Taguchi, which, wasn't anything to write home about. But dude, he had
Any more details on this one, the Taguchi run is not good. He's just there to drop very quick falls. And there was this instance where Kevin Kelly on commentary said, he's in this 20th best of the Super Junior tournament, and I think Chris Charlton was it, his 20th best of the Super Junior tournament, and he won one of them. And I was thinking, yeah, great stuff. He failed in 19 attempts. That's great. So the reason of him being in this tournament, I didn't really understand, because what is it really that he has to offer anymore?
It had to be somebody. It is fun.
That is correct.
It was either him or Tiger Mask.
Or a young lion. Why not?
Well, they're busy in All Japan right now. He can't be in both.
Yeah, that's true. But Young Lion would probably have the same record as Taguchi right now.
That's true. But would he have the respect?
please go on with Ishimori.
Yeah, well, I wrote in the preview. I wrote a full preview, by the way, on the Patreon for the tournament. I had all my predictions and the final scores for everybody. It might be a little different. I mean, Titan's already got more points than I predicted for him. But in the preview for Taguchi, I just put... just please God, don't let him take his pants off again. he's better than he has been in other times, I would say, but nothing special to say the least. But Ishimori, good matches all throughout. Titan, Doki, Rush, Kushida, those are like all of those are good.
Yeah, Taiji Ishimori is kind of the opposite of what I just said about Mike Bailey and Doki, because with Ishimori, you clearly know what you are getting, and he's wrestling his kind of match, and that is always good. These days, it rarely stands out anymore, but he still is a very good hat, so always good to have him in these situations, and the match with Lio Rush was really strong.
Yeah, I really like his tournament. Like I said, he's done a lot better than I anticipated. I was kind of bored of him going into it, and I think he's done a really good job overall. Like I said, all he needs is motivation. If he tries, the skills are still there. Maybe not like the dynamic ability he had in his younger days, but his skill level is still there, and all he needs is to be motivated. So I like his tournament so far as well.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So TJP. I think TJP really has a good tournament. I think he had one of the best matches with Show, if you can call it that because it was a really good comedy with him bringing out the wrench. Otherwise, he is a... Also in commentary, he had a very insightful time with Kevin Kelly, rating all the matches that he has seen. I think that TJP... I mean, there are a lot of people that don't like him for a couple of reasons, and he can be a fool online, but you can't question his ring work. I think he had a really good match with Kushida. Great stuff with Mike Bailey, just as you mentioned. All over the place, good matches. I really think that he can have some strong matches down the line in this tournament. So also good stuff from him.
Yeah, I've been a big fan of his. He's another one where, much like Ishimori, I thought last year he really... Because I've always respected his wrestling ability. You know, he's such a well-rounded performer. You know, look at his career path. He's wrestled in Mexico. He's wrestled in Japan. He trained in the dojos. He's worked British style. He has all of this in his arsenal that a lot of people don't have. And last year, I don't think he was able to stand out as much as he should have. I don't think he was as motivated there. But since this tag run has happened with Akira, yeah. I think he's really found, like, he's found himself in New Japan proper and really showed his talent level, which is very, very high. And I agree with you on commentary. He was very insightful and good. Every match has been good. I will say that the one thing I will say as a negative is that the tag match they had last month for the tag titles, Catch 22 and Kushida and Knight,
yep.
I thought their match was like so great. And he and Kushida were particularly so amazing in it together
mm-hmm.
that their singles match didn't live up to my expectations.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
But it's only because I had such high expectations. It was still a very good, talented match, but, you know, 9-minute undercard match. Like you said, the undercards are not always meant to be great matches on these. You know, they're just kind of there to get to the bigger matches. So it was unfortunate they were, like, in the opening spot on that show. You even see the ratings, like 6.32 on Cage Match. I expected that to be like a match of the tournament contender, and I don't think it reached that. But other than that, I thought the match with Bailey way over delivered. I thought he was great there.
Yeah, I thought it was better than the 7.9 we have.
Yeah, and Titan and TJP, I thought was a really strong match as well. He did some great work there. I think he had by far the best Taguchi match of the tournament. Never mind show.
You can make it the case. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought like he definitely. Like brought the best out of Taguchi and showed that Taguchi does, you know, is not a complete waste. Unlike Sho, who is like an awful performer in every sense. We'll
talk about them in a bit here.
Yeah, exactly. So TJP, good worker and a good guy to have in the tournament.
Yes, and I really think that this tag team with Francesco Akira has rekindled his fire. This great tag run you mentioned, and I think he sees a lot of. Him in young Francesco Akira as well. He gave a motivative speech on commentary while Akira was wrestling. Of course, Akira is a prodigy, much like TJP was considered to be a prodigy when he was young. Now he's a veteran, still young, but he's a veteran as well.
Yeah, he's been around so long. I just love that. I remember the comment that he had about him, which is kind of like the opposite of seeing himself, but I think it works perfectly with their team. He was like, Akira has all of these physical capabilities and all these unique and wild ideas that I would never think of,
mm-hmm.
but I have the ability to make those ideas work that he wouldn't have on his own. So it's like they're a perfect complement for each other as a team, and I love that about them.
It works really well, yeah. Great dynamic between the two. Yes, and then there is one more with 8 points. No, two more, actually. Titan and Hiromu Takahashi. Which one do you want to go first?
Let's save Hiromu for last. Let's talk about Titan. He's awesome. I've loved this.
One of my favorite luchadors of all time, actually. That's I've seen him live once, actually. But since then, I've always loved Titan. I've always loved Titan matches. His double foot stomp from the top is just so lethal. It looks so devastating. The finish on the show today against Lio Rush, it looked like he completely stomped him into oblivion. All around, great player.
His only question coming in, and he's kind of fallen victim to this because he's not really been in that big position yet, is if he gets time, he could be one of the best guys of the tournament.
Yeah.
A lot of his matches still have veered towards the shorter side. You know, he hasn't got that big main event yet, but if you like pound for pound in all of his matches, I really don't see too many flaws in his game. I think everything he's done has been great. You know, in the match, I think him and Taguchi was not a bad match, in my opinion. And I think the other matches were all really strong. TJP, Ishimori, Kushida.
Yeah, Bayley, absolutely. Kushida. Really good, really good, good matches. He still has, okay, he's show left. But then he has the opening match with Doki in Kurken Hall. I'm really circling that.
Yeah, that'll be good.
And, of course, his final match is against Yoru Takahashi on the 23rd.
So he's kind of positioned in a big spot for that final show.
Yeah.
I could honestly see him being alive.
Why not? I mean, they made him kind of a semi-regular.
Maybe that's the difference this year. Yeah. Maybe that's the difference this year and years past. He's actually in LIJ now and kind of, you know, that tag team partner with Bushiroad. So I think that's great. And maybe it's helped him get a little bit of a spot. That match with Hiromu is just going to slap. I'm so excited about that.
Yes, that should be great. Hiromu Takahashi, Dylan.
He's awesome, too. He's been, again, one of the MVPs. To me, the first three nights, he had the best match on every show.
Yeah.
You know, and that just shows you how strong his tournament has been. They did a unique thing on today's show where they...
Where they touched grass.
You love saying that. I can see. You know, the thing is, him and Sho and Taguchi, those matches kind of sucked. So he had this hot start and they kind of slanted down a little bit. But now with Kushida, they had the epic brawl type of deal. Literally left the building.
It was so fun, that match. It was completely different from what you'd expect from a Hiromu Takahashi and Kushida match. I mean, they did their regular spots inside the ring, but then they brawled outside the building in Iwate. Kushida locked in the hoverboard lock on the grass. Hiromu Takahashi picked him up from there into a death ready position and threw him against this truck. Just some fun stuff, some really outside the box thinking on this show today. Like, they had this count out win, the first ever count out victory in the tournament. Kushida fell off the apron at the 19 count. Hiromu slid into the ring. Then they had these two short matches. Yo beat Francesco Akira in 1:34 with the 5-star clutch. And in the second match, Bushi upset Yoshinobu Kanemaru in 1:46. So they are telling the story that not only are there some short matches in the tournament, there are some different finishes as well. So that is, of course, a setup for the final shows of the tournament where they will tease some of these finishes that have happened already.
And I think that's always helpful to do with the tournament. That's why I wasn't really buying. I saw some people say it was maybe an unsatisfying ending for Hiromu and Kushida. But I think in a title match, yes. Mm-hmm. In the tournament, no, because I think it adds something different. Yeah, exactly. So I actually like the finish. I like the match a lot. Obviously, these two have just get great chemistry together. They have for years. So Hiromu, like I said, the thing with Sho, nobody's going to have a good match with him. You know, Taguchi is okay, but not, you know, you're going to have be hard pressed to do anything special with. But all of his other matches have all been hits. So I give Hiromu big thumbs up again. Another, you know, a guy who's been an MVP front runner who also has got his, you know, lackluster matches out of the way, because A Block is so stacked to me compared to B Block. Just talent wise, I think A Block like kind of beats B in my opinion, just top to bottom. So he's got a lot of great matches left. And like I said, that Titan match, I mean, I'm circling that one. That's going to be a fantastic
one. Yeah, absolutely. The one against Mike Bailey was obviously tremendous. Great win too for Mike Bailey. I want to say this, though. Him being kidnapped by the House of Torture at least made for a great photo of him running down the ramp, being handcuffed or whatever it was, and then drop-kicking both Evil and Sho. So that actually made for a fun visual. But, yeah, that's about it. And, yeah, we've talked about Doki. We've talked about Kushida. We talked about... Oh, no, we've not talked about Kushida. Kushida, yeah. He had a weird tournament. He lost a lot in the beginning of the tournament. Then he picked up his first victory over Mike Bailey. And you'd think, yes, now he is off and running. But then he lost again. So at first I thought that they are telling the story. Of course, yeah, he didn't have a singles match in a long, long time. He's been in this tag team with Kevin Knight. And he had some trouble getting into the groove again, getting into the mix with all the singles matches again. But then he picked up his first win, and I thought, okay, that's the turning point for him. He's getting back on track. But now he lost again to Hiromu Takahashi, not by pinfall, but by countout, we said. But what do you think is in this tournament still for Kushida?
Well, he's eliminated now, so it's going to be tough. But I mean, I think it's an interesting story, at least. He, to me, was a guy I thought could be a semifinalist, you know, if they wanted to do that. And he's performed well in all of his matches. I really like his tournament. His style is so good. We mentioned the match before with him and Bayley. Was a great match. Him and Doki had a really strong match against each other. I actually thought that was like almost as good as the main event. Maybe I'm a little lower. Not the main event, but yeah, on night one, I thought that was like almost as good. I thought that was like a way underrated match, Kushida and Doki. Obviously, Doki, a great performer in the tournament. We always love him. So performance-wise, he's there. I think the tournament's interesting because you can kind of play off of that. On paper, he is the veteran of his team with Knight, but Knight is actually much more successful than Kushida in this tournament. So I think that there's some interesting stories you can tell from there. And I'll wait and see on it. But for the tournament, I like that it's something a little different. It gives Kushida another mountain to climb, so to speak. And we'll have to see where he goes. But his performance-wise, really strong, I would say.
Yeah, he's facing Sho next. Actually, no, he's facing Lio Rush next. You mentioned that. But then he has Sho. And his final match is against Taguchi, so probably losing to a Rush, like you said, and then picking up two more wins in the end.
I think he'll beat Rush.
Oh, he has to beat Rush, pretty much.
Yeah.
So he'll end up with 8, I think, in the end.
Yeah. Well, that's fine.
Yeah, it's fine, but I don't think will be enough for the semifinals. No, he's eliminated.
No, yeah, he's out. Already been
eliminated. He's out.
Yeah, he's eliminated. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So... Doki, we talked about, and I agree with you, the match against Kushida, Doki's match against Kushida was really, really good as well, because unlike the one against Lio Rush, there was a tournament upset at the beginning where Doki was really great with all his submissions and all his stretches. I really enjoyed that tremendously. So Doki, great player. And Sho. We've been over this, that this turn to the House of Torture has completely backfired for him. He initially agreed to this turn because he thought he would benefit from it and would get a run on top of the junior division, but that clearly did not happen. And now he has this thing going on where he's always coming out and telling different stories, different lies, that he's now back to Team New Japan, that Hiromu Takahashi isn't in the building and he's going to lose by countout and stuff like that. Evil is always there, being his sidekick. Will there be a time again, Dylan? That's my question for you. Will there be a time again in Sho's career that he bounces back? Is there a coming back from this House of Torture deal, or is his career just going to be what it is right now? That he's going to be a player on the undercard.
Well, there have been guys who have made a career out of this heel shtick. I mean, look at Yano. You know, he turned into a babyface through it pretty much. So maybe we could see that House of Torture babyface run. You could see that. Maybe more of a comedic character. But it's also possible this could all just go away. You know, if he just came back as Sho Tanaka, this would all be forgotten, in my opinion. Like, he just wrestled as himself, and you'd see how great he actually is. I think that would pretty much override any of this negative stuff and just be like, hey, that was then, push it aside, no need to think about it anymore, type of deal. But until that day comes, that's the issue overall.
Do you think this thing with Evil is leading anywhere, or is it just the old shtick? Yeah.
No. Like, this doesn't seem like it. I don't think that at all. But no. Another thing I don't like is when he cut up, I think it was Taguchi's shirt. I mean, that's like bad for the environment. You know, he's now anti-recycling on top of it. That's a very serious crime in Japan.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, see, so very down on this show run. You know, bad for the economy, bad for the environment. I mean, he's bad for everything.
I want to say this. If, and that's a really small if this story with evil eventually leads to him abandoning evil, then I can see that he has a slight chance to at least get to a mild position again in the mid-card for the Hontai team. Maybe he turns on the House of Torture, but I don't see that coming either. I see this just being a undercard heel shtick for the next foreseeable future. He's stuck with them, and that's his role.
And that's the thing. This character is a role at the end of the day.
Yeah, anybody, you see that.
Yeah, like anybody could do what he's doing. Like, you know, at the end of the day, it's not hard. Like, it's very easy, and he's guaranteed a spot. So if you just look at it as a job, like, if he has no motivation really besides just it being a job, then this is fine at the end of the day. Unfortunately, we saw how talented he was already.
Yeah.
You know, so as a fan, obviously, like I said, for like Yujiro, evil, blah, 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 that's fine for them. Because, like, they're not special anyway. Like, you know, at their best day, Sho could have been a guy. Remember his match with Shingo? Like, he had? Remember when they put him in the great main event versus Ito? Remember the great matches he had in the past? You know, it's like, we know that he can be somebody special. He was one, like, I was really high on his run. I always liked him, actually, even as Young Lion. I know a lot of people like Yo better as Young Lion, but I actually always liked him the best. I remember when they went to CMLL, obviously that run didn't go very far, but when they interviewed him, he had, like, within a few days, he had already picked up, like, some Spanish to use. And I was just thinking, I was like, this guy is motivated, this guy's hungry to make the best out of any situation he could have, and Where did those days go? You know, it's time flies, and unfortunately, it's not always fun. So it's a job. It's a role he'll always be able to fall back on for as long as they want. But if he wants to do anything better or move up, then yeah, you know, you'd have to think that is. But I don't think that's going to happen right now. I mean, they're in the middle of pushing House of Torture anyway with Evil and Yujiro. So, you know, and then obviously, Juniors are going to go to the bench for G1, so you're looking at another year or so, probably. Maybe works for something after Wrestle Kingdom, if they want to do something with House of Torture. Maybe one day they'll even do the Bullet Club and House of Torture split that they teased many times. But until that happens, I wouldn't count on it.
Well, this match against Taiji Ishimori was, again, part of this shtick as well, where Sho cheated. But then Taiji Ishimori shook his hand afterwards, so it's all good and fine between Bullet Club and House of Torture, apparently, so that's not coming either. It's all the same. All the time.
Exactly. Like, this is going to go on for a decade, probably, if not longer. So, yeah. Like, that's my expectation for, like, all of them there. It's unfortunate because he's actually talented enough to be more, but it had to be somebody.
Well, okay. Then we talked about who we see advancing in this block. You think that Hiromu and Bailey, I think you said?
Yeah, you know, now thinking that they're going to wrestle the other block, that kind of opens up. But I think Bailey's probably as good of an option as to be honest. So yeah, I'll go with Hiromu and Bailey.
I'm going with Hiromu and Lio Rush. Cool. So let us turn our attention to block B, and let's tackle it from the other side of the bracket here, of the block here, with Bushi. He picked up his first victory against Yoshinobu Kanemaru today. He started off by losing to Dan Maloney, then faced El Desperado, Clark Connors, Robbie Eagles, and Kevin Knight, who he all fell to. Matches mostly really short, 7 minutes, 9 minutes, six, again, 9 minutes. Five and today the shortest one. So Bushi is a utility player in this tournament. He's there to lose, to provide others with points, and he is filling that role well, I'd say. He's not over the top or anything, doing anything special. He's just doing his work, and as that, he is a very suitable guy to be in this tournament.
I mean, it's Bushi. I don't think anybody expected anything else than what we got from him. You know, it's not like he's some terrible worker. It's just that he's really uninteresting and average, you know, overall. So he doesn't have anything going for me.
If he hadn't Titan as his tag team partner, he'd be completely uninteresting.
Yeah, to me, he's still uninteresting. So even with Titan, I'm interested in Titan, just not him.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
overall, so I think that he is just. He's literally just a guy. Again, anybody can do what he does. You know, like, and I don't think, again, it's fine. Like, for the bottom of the block, totally fine. But nothing to even say beyond that.
Yeah. Dan Maloney, he, as I mentioned, beat Bushi, then lost to Yoshinobu Kanemaru in the figure four leg lock, bounced back by defeating Yo, and then lost his remaining matches against Francisco Akira, Master Wato, and Kevin Knight. They're telling the story that He turned his body around, that is what they are saying, to become a junior heavyweight. He was scouted by Ospreay. He faced Ospreay in a match that they're going back to all the time. That they are telling that he's been around with Aussie Open, of course, in the English scene. Now he is here in this tournament. I think he's doing a decent job. I've not yet seen anything that would make me want to see him again in a Best of the Super Junior tournament. I think he's been just fine.
You know, whenever I see British wrestler, I generally expect the worst, for the most part. And to see him wrestle, I think he's been totally fine. Average. Like, they're not pushing him, really. Mm-mm. And maybe he'll have a run late and get into the double ditch or something. But
Well,
he'd have to win all three matches to get to him. I don't think they will, based on how they're doing. But he's another one like Bushi. Like, for the bottom of the block, you could do a lot worse than him. Sure. Like, I don't see anything special about him. I mean, he's got a little bit of size to him. You know, he's bigger than a lot of the guys he's facing. But I just, even compared to someone else we'll talk about, there's nothing wrong with him, but there's just nothing special about him either. And I think that, you know, it's good for him that he gets this opportunity. You know, you even see early on, remember in the first couple of matches, he's really, and he still kind of is as time has gone along, but he was really like, every time he'd do a move, he'd turn to the crowd and try to do his pose.
Yeah.
To get a reaction. Yeah. You know, like, just begging for a reaction pretty much, because nobody knows who this guy is. Like, let's just be honest, in Japan, like, this is a total nobody player. Like, and he's trying to get a reaction as a heel, as a bigger guy. You know, I'm not going to be too hard on him, but he's not special.
No, he's not special. And I think he's ending up with 8 points, because the next two he has are El Desperado and Robbie Eagles. And I think one of these matches will be an upset. And then the final match is against Clark Connors, where I think it could go either way, but I think Maloney is picking up that one.
Yeah. I mean, I could get behind that, give him a big win, at least in his tournament.
Yep, but otherwise, nothing that stands out. Yoshinobu Kanemaru, he's an interesting guy. Actually, he's wrestling quite a good year, I'd say. Thing, though, is with his matches in the tournament, they started out to be quite interesting, where he at first submitted, I think he submitted El Desperado, right?
Yeah, he did, with the leg lock.
With the figure four as well, right? Yeah. Then also beat, as I said, Dan Maloney with the same hold. Yep. The early matches that Kanemaru had were really interesting because of his work with his leg work against Desperado and Maloney. But he just continued to do the same match as the tournament continued. And it then became a little less interesting, gotta say. Even though I liked the match that he had with Kevin Knight and Master Wato as well, it wasn't as interesting anymore because we'd seen that early in the tournament as well. But it's the approach that he's taking, and Kanemaru, man, I think Kevin Knight said that on commentary, has been wrestling longer than he has been alive. And that's always something that you have to have in the back of your mind when you talk about a guy like him. the career he's had. I think nobody expected him to be in New Japan Pro Wrestling at the level he is at the point of his career right now. So he's doing well for him.
Much like the last two, to me, there's just not a lot there. Like, in my opinion, I think the difference is that he had a really good match with Desperado on the first night because they had the tag team history. Desperado's really good at working his style, but I don't see anything really exciting or special about his work in any of his other matches. I think he's a guy that's totally fine to have. You know, veteran role, good submissions, kind of slow things down, you know, slow the pace down a little bit. And we saw that with his match with Hiromu last month. I mean, Hiromu's had a great reign, and that was probably the worst match of it. But the one thing you say is that the crowd actually got behind Hiromu in that match, which they were not doing against all of his other opponents overall, because he's like so slow and boring of a wrestler, Kanemaru is. So I think that he plays a role. I don't see a lot of highlights in the tournament, though. The first match was good with Desperado, and I think that was better than anything Bushi or Maloney did. But yeah, otherwise there's just not a lot to sink your teeth into with him. He's just a totally fine bit player at the bottom of the block.
Kevin Knight, though, he is completely different. The match where it really struck me was the second match that he had in the tournament. The first one was a match that you really don't have to say anything about, the Clark Connors match. The second one, much better, against Francesco Akira, and I think that the rating that we have on Cage Match is a little low for that match because we have a 6.43. I put it on Twitter that day when I watched the match. When you just look at how both Kevin Knight and Akira Francesco carry themselves inside the ring, they have made such a great step forward, both of them, that they are just able to have an aura for themselves and just work a great match in any situation, on the undercard, on the top of the card, wherever it is. They're just able to hang in all these singles match situations. And both guys, both Akira and Kevin Knight, they will go out of this tournament with much, much more experience, with a stretch of singles matches that they've put together, where they are put in situations where they have to swim. And both of these guys actually swim. I really enjoyed the match that these two had against each other. And I think it is my favorite match that Kevin Knight had in the tournament. A lot of those matches are early on the card, so you can't really say that he had any kind of a banger or anything. But he definitely showed that he'll be a player that can be on top of the tournament in years to come if he sticks around.
To me, kind of like what I said before, in the A block, I think that my issue with him is that my expectations were so high. That match last month against the tag title match, they had the junior tag title match, was so great. You see that, you see, man. And their tag run in the tag league last year, him and Kushida, they were just a great team together. And he was showing me something. He had so much great stuff to him, great energy. Like, love the way that he works. Like, you know, I said it in my preview that even though he's still young, to me, he was a guy that I was really interested in seeing, one of the more interesting guys heading into the tournament. They've given him a lot more wins than I thought they would early on, too. So clearly and he's a champion right now. So they clearly see a lot in him, and they should because he's such a talented guy. Like you said, the matches themselves, to me, there's not a lot special there, but really more because of the circumstances he's in more than anything. But I think of the two, you know, there's still a pretty big gap between him and Titan, who's kind of in a similar role in A block, who I think has really excelled and like just done a great, great work. He's been like totally good in his role. You could see a lot of his skill set is like good, and he carries, like, I agree with you. He carries himself, great swagger to him, feels like he belongs there. And so he's checked every box that he needs to check. But for me, I had like, maybe it was my own fault for having too high expectations, more than anything.
His high profile matches are coming up. It's not like they are main event matches, but he has Robbie Eagles, Yo, and Master Wato left. And when I'm looking at the block, winning these matches could really propel him to the top of this block.
Yeah, that's a great thing. That's another thing. They've given him more wins than I thought, too. on there. You know, so I think as tournament wise, you have to consider it a big success. I don't know if he'll win those matches, but I think that he's a guy that it's good that they protected him with the belt. You know, because at first you mentioned the Connors match. The one thing I'll say about it is afterwards they shot an angle where Connors brutalized him with the chair. So I was kind of figuring, oh, that'll protect him so he can lose.
I did not like that aspect of the show today because they did it twice that the loser attacked the winner on this match. One time with Clark Connors and then with Akira as well.
Yeah. This show too, they especially went back to it, but they ended up giving him more wins though. So I was happy for that for night. And good performer, really love his future. The matches themselves are kind of secondary.
He's a champion. And with these two matches against Yo and Robbie Eagles left, do you think he's a candidate for the semifinals?
I'd love it. I think that would give him a big spot. Look at last year. I mean, this is a different situation because he was a veteran, but it was a big step forward for Tama Tonga to make the semifinals in the G1. And look how well that match with Okada went. Better than anybody could have thought. So if you wanted to give him that kind of role, I'd be totally for that.
If he ends up second, he'd face maybe Hiromu Takahashi.
Battle of the Champions. I think that would be a great semifinal. I didn't really think about that, but the way you've laid it out, I think it's a great idea. Like, I would love if they did that.
Mm. Why not?
Yeah, why like not?
Because the guys he's facing, of course, you can always put like Robbie Eagles or Yo in these situations, but they've both actually had their fair share of success in New Japan, and I think that they are really behind Kevin Knight right now.
And but for the purposes of this tournament, they've already had title shots. So I think that kind of, you know, takes them down a notch. You know, it's a lot easier to believe somebody wouldn't win it when they've already got a title shot. So I think Knight wouldn't be a favorite. I still think that would be a major upset for him. But I think for the second spot, why not? I mean, we'll talk about it later, but I think he'd be a great pick. Let me just say that if that happened.
He'd be definitely a great pick. So we've talked about him here as well because I mentioned the match. Francesco Akira Dillon, what do you think about him?
A guy that I've really loved his run in the tag team with TJP. He's another guy I think he has great confidence in himself as he comes in there. Every time he has a match when he enters, it feels like he thinks of himself as a star, which always goes a long way. Him versus Eagles, I thought, was a tremendous match.
Yeah, exactly.
The other stuff that he's done, to me, hasn't been that great match-wise. I think B-Block, again, kind of mentioning what I said earlier, I think B-Block is much less stacked with, like, guys who could have these bangers and special matches. We're not seeing that. I mean, we're halfway through this block, and nobody's really stood out in terms of matches. But that one versus Eagles is, of all the guys we've talked about, his match versus Eagles is by far the best. And he carries himself so well that he is going to be a guy in the future, again, that we look at as like a top foreigner type of player. And you see the talent he has. Very good all-around performer, too. He's got some high-speed stuff, the high-flying stuff. He obviously takes a bit from Ospreay, who, you know, he got called into the faction with. But he could do a little bit, too. You know, like when he was with the Eagles, I thought he's a very well-rounded performer, has the All-Japan background. I really like this guy a lot. I like this tournament, even though, again, the matches have kind of been secondary. But everything about him, he checks off all the boxes.
Exactly. It's what I said about him earlier and about Kevin Knight earlier. It's really about him just being in this tournament and picking up everything left and right. And even in years to come, you can always go back to him being in this tournament and they could be telling stories of his first appearance here. Is it his first or second? I think his second appearance, right?
Yeah, he was here last year. Yeah,
but you can always go back and tell stories of his first appearances in the tournament and how much he has improved and grown since then. And this will be one to go back with Francesco Akira in years to come. So that is him then. I don't think that we'll expect him to be in the mix in the end. And neither do we expect this guy to be in the mix at the end too, is Clark Connors. With much like Sho, I think I mean, on commentary, they are saying that Clark Connors is showing his true colors now. But what is it really that Clark Connors' true colors are? Is it this gimmick now, this new Bullet Club gimmick? I don't think it is.
Like I told you off the air, the only good thing I'll say about it is better than the Rhino Hunter deal he was doing last year. That was just going nowhere at all. This, at least, Gato's fingerprints are on it. So he's getting a push. And that's what we've seen throughout the tournament, I would say. Is it good or entertaining? No. I would say, we've seen Finlay have success with kind of this renegade, like badass type of gimmick. For Connors, though, I think he's just not impactful enough for this role. I said this on a Patreon show I did, patreon.com/EasternLariat, if you want to check it out, along with the previews and all the cool stuff I got going on there. But I said on there that I watch him wrestle, and I just think he'd be much better as an underdog heavyweight rather than power junior guy. Because I just don't think he's very good at that role. I don't think he's impactful. He's not interesting. He's not aggressive. And he's trying to manufacture aggression, but I don't think that it really comes across well in his matches the way you would want. You know, obviously, like the main power junior I think we always think of are, you know, Shingo when he was in Dragon Gate, and, you know, yeah, Shuji Kondo, like, yes, those type of guys. He doesn't have what they have. So I think that he would be better off as an underdog. And even the match with Kevin Knight on the first night, I didn't love the match either. I agree with you. But I did like it better when Knight was on offense. You know, obviously, mm-hmm, he's a spectacular athlete. But I think Connors is better working for underneath than in the overset side.
Yeah, and even though the match that he had with Desperado was better, but again, this was the match where Desperado actually was working from underneath and picked up the win with the Escalero in the end, with the roll-up. Even though it was probably wasn't the best match that he had in the tournament, it didn't really stand out to me. So I don't know. Man, when I was watching Strong and he had his babyface run, I really thought that he'd be one to follow. But his Japanese tours so far haven't worked out for me, and I am not sure if he is a guy that will ever make it in Japan. I don't know.
I just don't see it right now, but I agree with you about his babyface run. I thought he did a fantastic job. He was a guy that really impressed me. I always said that I actually liked him better than Carl Fredericks when he was still around and everybody was really praising him. I actually like Connors a little better. The stuff they've given him, I don't think is A, quality material or helping him. And I don't even think, if you look at his match times, I mean, it's all, you know, 5-6 minutes. And now today he had the big match with Desperado, pretty much. So that was his first chance to really impress. I agree with you that that was not like a standout match. But I think it would be it's better than a lot of the stuff we've seen from, like, some of the true, like, I would take that match over anything Bushi has done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I think he's a level above those first guys we were talking about that really didn't bring a lot to the table. But still, if he can find himself, I think he's got another level he could get to. And right now, he's not living up to his potential. Let me put it that way.
Yeah. Living up to potential, Dylan. We have 4 guys on top of this block, all at 8 points. Master Wato, Yo, El Desperado, and Robbie Eagles. Who do you want to tackle first?
Let's talk about Wato.
Potential, yes.
I mean, look at the potential he's had. Look at those pants.
Yeah, Master Wato, Dylan. It's interesting how they portray him on English commentary. Of course, I can't say what they're saying about him on Japanese commentary, especially in the match, in the main event match that he had today against Robbie Eagles. I thought was a tremendous main event match, with Master Wato surviving all the leg locks that Robbie Eagles used in the match, the Ron Miller special. He survived. He in the end bounced back and hit Robbie Eagles with his great looking German suplex. Kevin Kelly on commentary said, and Bailey seconded him in his opinion, that Master Wato is wrestling wrong, that he is just sometimes doing stupid stuff, but in the end, it always works out for him. And that is kind of the way that they portray him. I find it kind of funny because it's not necessarily anything that he's doing wrong. He's just like, he's doing a top rope drop kick, and they are getting on his case and, oh, he shouldn't have done that. But in the end, it is successful for him. So I like this tournament so far. I think the Eagles match was his best so far.
Definitely agree with you. That Eagles match was so good. That's a testament to Eagles as well, obviously. I mean, we'll talk about him in a little bit. But Watto, I like his tournament. I think he's done a good job. I was really interested in his run. I'll tell you why. I said this in the preview. The thing, one of the standout drawing points of B-Block to me was how were Watto and Yo going to compare? Because to me, they're in a very similar spot in New Japan right now. Look at the first 2 months of the year. Wrestle Kingdom, the crowd was going crazy for Watto. They were begging for him to win the title in the four-way. Yep. Everyone loved him. Came up short. Next month, Yo had a great crowd response versus Hiromu, a match everybody liked, like standout, blah, blah, blah. And now they've kind of pulled them back. They just got moved back to the back of the line. So I wanted to see how they were going to do in this tournament to see who's really improved, because I think, you know, last year's tournament, neither man really was a standout player. Like, let's just be honest about it. Neither one of them was able to really get.
No, Master Wato was nowhere near the level, even at the level of respect that he's getting from fans all around. He was nowhere near the level.
And I think the commentators are still kind of, they did that with Yoshihashi too for a long time too, where they would bang on his drum even long after he actually improved and deserved more respect. And the same is playing out with Watto, where he's actually improved a lot and deserves more respect, but they're still kind of talking about him like he's where he was a year and a half ago. He's a guy that I think people have caught up on, though, now, where people see that he is talented. And I love his Young Lion run so much. It's a true shame how he came back and debuted and all the struggles that he had to overcome. But I remember back then, I was saying similar things to what they were saying in that, remember, and he still does these, but he's worked them in a way that I think he wrestles a lot better now than he did at the start, where, you know, he comes in with this kung fu master gimmick, but he also does the RPP, the Cancun Tornado. Then he has the Tenzan moves. It's like you're combining all of these things, and I think it was wrecking his development a little bit. But he's really been able to grow and utilize everything he has in his playbook in a good way, and I really like his tournament so far. I think he's been not the best performer, but one of the highlights, I would say, of B-Block.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so good that they backed away from Tenzan being his manager, because
true.
That they didn't have any connection whatsoever. They didn't have any similarities in their wrestling style. They just didn't have anything in common. So it was just a weird combination. He's better off on his own.
Just let him be himself.
Yep.
If they did that, we saw what he had a connection to the crowd that no other Young Lion, even in this current generation, has. Like they don't have what he had. And they're talented in their own ways and amazing and all that stuff. And even his generation had a lot of good guys. But he had something none of the others had when it came to a connection to the crowd. Just let him be himself, and he can deliver the goods, man. And I don't know why they wanted to change him so much over the years. It's kind of crazy to me. But I think he's gotten there, though, even in the Watto gimmick. I think he's been able to get where he should be.
He's able to lay the gimmick out that he's not, like, doing anything weird gimmick stuff, but that he's mostly being himself, Hirooki Watto, that is, just called Master Watto,
And that's a testament to his talent, that he's, because, this gimmick was a complete joke when he came in, and he's been able to turn it around to where you get responses, like, at the Dome, and the fans are into him again, and that, to me, shows, like, he, to me, is kind of one of the more underrated performers, actually.
Yeah, they're giving him chances, too. Been his, was it his second main event in the tournament? Or was it his first? Let me see.
Was it Yo the main event?
Yeah, I think, on the second night, right. Yeah. Exactly. That's the tie-in that I wanted to talk about here, because Yo is in a very similar role where Master Watto had been too, that he had to find his mojo. After the split, Roppongi 3K split, he was going nowhere, much like you said, with Leo Rush. He came in, completely turned around Yo's career in New Japan. That was really about to go down to the levels where Sho was. But now Yo is in a different position. And the match, the main event match that these two had, I mean, yeah, Kevin Knight and Francisco Akira, that wasn't the main event match. But also, comparable to that, these two were just in this situation, were put in this situation to be able to have a compelling main event match. And that is what they did. Was a bit long. That's why I... How long was it? It was 18 minutes. Would have been better if it was kept to 12 or 13 minutes, because I tweeted that as well. It lost kind of the flow in the middle of the match, but they picked it back in the end with a direct drive from Yo. But you could really see that these are two of the guys that they gave a chance to, and they pulled it off. So Yo is another of these guys that is able to get the crowd behind him with the... He's still called Yo, but he's much more like he used to be when he was Yoe Komatsu. So he has won the tournament before, so I don't think he'll be in the mix in the end. But he is obviously a core part of this junior division now.
Yeah, you know, I actually thought the same, kind of like what I alluded to earlier, where he's never won the tournament, though.
Wasn't he in the, he lost the final, of course.
Yeah. Because that's kind of a story they told. That's another reason why he, to me, besides Desperado, was kind of my favorite to win the tournament if they were going to go with somebody. And I think, like, if you look at the way his push went, he lost a couple of matches early, and now he's won three in a row. So I wonder if he...
Much like the tournament that he ended up in the final.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, great point. So... Another one, I think, much like Watto, he's really improved a lot. I think him teaming with Leo Rush was like a revelation.
Yeah.
Because last year he was not very good at all. Like, he didn't stand out at all. He was one of the weaker parts of his block in A block last year, much like Watto would be. But he has really found a new life. I don't know what it was that unlocked this from him, but ever since he's teamed with Rush, he has been a much better performer. Him and Hiromu in February again, same thing as Watto with the Dome. It's like the fans rallied behind him. He had a great performance. Everyone loved the match. And now in this tournament, I mean, he has had some bangers. Like, you know, him versus Desperado was a great match.
Like, that's a main event, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that was a great match. Him versus Eagles on the first night was a really strong match, I thought, as well. Yo looked really good in it. I really like his tournament so far. They cooled off with him. Not that they cooled off on him, but just that they... They've given us some short matches with Connors and Akira that didn't really stand out. But when they've given them chances, the Yo and the Watto, I agree with you, though. Them together, I think both of those guys are still at a point where they need a dude to play off of. You know, like, they can't carry it on their own, mm-hmm. but if they have a great guy against them, they could, that'll bring out the best in them and show what they can do. So Yo has done a great job again. I think he's really showed his true abilities. I mean, they've given him chances in the past, and nothing has stuck. Remember when he came out with the fake Naito gear, like the Stardust Genius and all that? You know, then you had the RPG 3K.
Now he's cosplaying Hiroshi Tanahashi in the ring, that is.
That is true. Well, that's a great point. Actually, it seems like a lot of guys are doing that these days. but he is definitely one of them. So, yeah, like, I still think he needs to find his own groove, so to speak, just from a look at how he carries himself. But I think as an in-ring performer, he's really improved. I think that team with Rush, I don't know what happened. Maybe he relaxed them somehow. They just got together, had great ideas, great friendship, whatever it was. It really feels like he's taken a big step forward since December of last year. So another one, really like his tournament so far.
Robbie Eagles, what do you think about his tournament? I mean, we've talked about the main event match that he had with Master Watto was a tremendous match. What else did you like of him?
To me, he's the best performer in B block. I think he has done a fantastic job in pretty much all of his matches. Again, much like we've mentioned him with a bunch of guys, like him versus Yo on the first night was a great match. Him versus Akira, that was a great match. You know, they kind of tailed off, but I mean, his matches with Bushi and Kanemaru weren't bad. And then the match with Watto, I thought, was like a really strong performance. So to me, once he gets in there with, like, you know, him and Desperado, that to me is a match I circle.
Yes.
I loved their title match at the Dome, the one where it was Tanahashi and Shingo in the main event, the July Dome. Like, there's like 5,000 people in it. The Desperado and Eagles match to me is one of the most underrated matches. I thought that was a spectacular match.
They have very similar approaches to their wrestling, where they both go for leg submissions a lot.
Yep.
So they really work out well together.
And he's worked out well with, I thought he's brought pretty much the best he could out of all of his opponents. I think the one you can point to is Connors, but that wasn't really a spot where he could succeed.
But
everything else, I thought he's brought the best out of his opponents, and he's had some real standout matches. And the one with Watto, I think, is his best yet.
The one thing I don't like about him right now in this tournament is his new finisher, the trigger, because I think it's kind of a shining Enzugiri type of deal. I don't think that it's really that impactful. I don't know. I don't really buy it as a finish.
Okay, yeah, kind of like a sliding. Yeah, like you said, yeah, a shining wizard, but as a knee. But I agree. One of my favorite parts about him, though, is that all of his wrestling leads to his finisher. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like such an easy thing that so many take for granted and don't do, when it would be so easy to do and make your matches a lot better.
Yeah, but now it's not his finish anymore.
And that's the problem, right? Goto has a similar way, and everybody knows that he's kind of like my favorite in New Japan, where everything he does leads up to the GTR. And him leading to the Ron Miller special is a great thing. Now with this new move, I think that does take away a little bit, because it's a head strike and not a leg move.
Yeah.
I get where he's coming from, though, that he wants to change things around, being in Team DK. I don't hate it, per se, but I do. I think it would be better if he had a leg finisher, ultimately. Like that's my only problem. I don't necessarily dislike it on its own, but I think as a finisher, it's not great overall.
Yeah,
for him.
Yeah, for him. And then we have the one guy left, Dylan, that you called out for being the one that wins the tournament in the end, El Desperado.
Yeah, I still feel the same. I think that I do think if they wanted to pull the trigger on Yo or Watto, that would make sense for where they're at, like storyline wise, because it feels like they have appropriate build up and have earned it enough to where some of the newer guys just hasn't had the same time as those two. But I think that's double the case for Desperado, to where if you don't do it now, and some people might already say this is true, people might have said it anyway, I think it would mean less if he won it next year than if he won it this year.
I can see that, yeah.
So I think if you're going to do it, but a lot of people could say it means less now than if he won it last year, where if everything had built up to him winning. The first match, I don't think anybody would say, because where he took the mask off and everything, that was a classic match everyone really liked. The second one, I think, hurt him a little bit, and I think this will not be as big as that, but it'll be double, so if he wins it next year, then it really will mean less. So I think if you're going to do it, you might as well just do it now. And
yeah.
If Watto or Yo win next year, it'll mean just as much. You won't lose it. So yeah, that's what I think. Performance-wise, he's great. I mean, we all know that. I don't think there's a lot we can really say about it. Everybody knows that he's really great.
I was just looking at his matches, because I think you can really make the case for him too that he is the top player in his block. Because just look at the first match that he had. I think he had the best Kanemaru match. The selling that Desperado had in this match against Kanemaru was tremendous. They played off their history, of course, of being in the same stable with the Suzuki-gun and now parted ways. He was able to put over the figure four leg lock for Kanemaru tremendously. He had a solid match against Bushi, good one against Master Watto, then the one against Kevin Knight I thought was very good too. Desperado versus Yo we talked about, and then he had one of the better Clark Connors matches, so he is up there.
Yeah, and like I said, everybody already knows that he's talented. In general, though, I do think, again, I think A Block has a lot more high quality matches than B Block, if you just look at their top to bottom ability. So you're kind of in a tough spot when you're at the top of a weaker block, but he's done a great job with it. I thought, like you said, the Connors match was probably the best Connors match that they had. Yo match was really strong. Like you said, best Kanemaru match. The other worlds were pretty good. I don't think that any of them were too special, but that goes with the territory sometimes in the tournament. So, yeah, he's up there. Him and Eagles, to me, are the top of the line of B block. So you could go either way. I don't think there's a wrong answer.
So then I need the one final answer here. We've had that in block A. Who are the two that are advancing?
This one's wide open, too. Like, there's a lot of people still in play.
There's no one at 10, unlike in block A.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of people have a chance to still be up there. I would say everyone besides, like, Bushi.
Yeah.
And probably Maloney and Kanemaru aren't going to win all their matches. So, we'll take them out of it. Everyone else still within striking distance. I don't think Connors will get it. They do like their Bullet Club pushes. And it is the 10-year anniversary. But I still don't foresee that happening with him. There's just too many better options. Knight, I like your idea a lot. Mm-hmm. If they were to do that, I think that would be a ton of fun. And I think if that happens, they should really go all in on making sure Kushida doesn't win anything. Like, just totally separate them and tell a story off of that. Like the young guy who nobody thought would do anything actually made it, but the veteran was the one who, you know, wasn't able to get it done. I think that would be a fun story you could play with. But still, though, I think there's just other guys who have had longer to cook, so to speak. I think Knight's day will come, but it won't be this year. Then you have Akira, who I don't think will make it, but I like him a lot, though, overall. Like I said, I just don't feel like it's his year. He's facing Bushi on the final day, which doesn't feel like a mainstream match. I don't think he'll do it, but I like his tournament. Wato, Yo, I think Desperado will definitely be one of them. And the other three, it'll come down to Eagles, Yo, or Wato. Eagles would be my favorite, but he actually wrestles Desperado on the last night, so I think that would kind of, by default, take him out. Wato faces Knight, and Yo faces Kanemaru. Either one of those could be good. I think Knight will take out Wato, and Yo will be Kanemaru.
That could be.
Yeah, and Yo gets to the semis.
Yeah, I still kind of like my idea with Kevin Knight, and it's just the nature of this tournament with semifinals provide an opportunity of one of those dark horses advancing. So I really like the idea. I see where you're coming from with the other guys having a tenure in this tournament already. I think Desperado should be a lock.
Yeah.
And then... yeah. Yo or Wato? I just like I said, I like the idea of Kevin Knight, and I think I'll keep him as a dark horse. But I say Desperado and Wato are advancing.
I think of the two, I kind of like Wato better than Yo, but it's very close. Like, just my personal opinion, I think Wato's a tad ahead of Yo. As a performer. But I mean, I wouldn't begrudge you if you thought Yo was the better guy. I could get down with that overall. I think Knight is going to be tough because he faces Eagles next. If he wins that, I think we can kind of put some stock, we'll put some more stock into that. If he can win that, then I'll start believing in him a little bit more because I really like that idea. But yeah, Wato and Yo feel like the stock answers for the second, like whichever one. But I don't think it makes a big difference either way because I think they're both in kind of the same spot, and them going forward would accomplish kind of the same thing, and the talent differential isn't even great either between them. So it's kind of like either one of those accomplishes the same thing, pretty much.
That is true. Yeah. Man, what a fun time to talk about New Japan again and being excited for what they have to offer. Much like we said throughout this episode, just such a well-booked tournament, a lot of interesting wrestlers. A lot of fresh faces making their appearances here with, of course, Mike Bailey making the biggest splash of them all. Robbie Eagles is tremendous. Desperado will probably be the one ending up on top. Hiromu is great. Kushida has a very interesting story going for him. Doki is a great underdog. There is really few things that you can really criticize about this one.
No, not at all. I would say... you know, the show matches are a drag, but
sure,
we already
they are mostly
know,
short. Yeah,
Yeah, and we know what we're getting out of them, you know, pretty much. Yeah. Everyone else, I don't think there's anybody that's, like, truly terrible, like, in the tournament. There's some people that don't add a lot, but I'm not like, oh, man, this guy, he sucks. Like, there's nobody like that. It's just, like, a lot of average guys. And then you get to the, you know, the top half of the tournament. I mean, there's a lot of great performers, like, on here. And like you said, the booking has been really good, too, and very enjoyable to follow the tournament as well. So I will ask you one more thing, though. So in this kind of scenario we've laid out, according to your what you said about the finalists facing each other on different blocks, or the semifinalists, rather, that would put it as, like, for you, it would be Hiromu and Watto.
Right.
And Desperado and Leo.
Leo Rush, yes.
Yeah. Okay, and for me, it would be Hiromu and Watto. Or did I say Yo? Either one. Yo or Watto, either one's fine. Like, so I'll just say Yo to be different. But Hiromu and Yo or Watto, again, that match totally accomplishes the same thing. Like, who wins it. So it's very, very difficult to determine. But it would be him, and for me, Desperado and Bailey, I guess. Yeah, so yeah. But either way, who would be your final on that? Because I already said Hiromu and Despy at the start of that, and yeah, I'll stick with it.
If the matches happen like I laid it out, much like I said, my final would then be Hiromu Takahashi against Leo Rush.
Okay, and Hiromu wins once again. Now you say Rush would win.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Well, like I said, I think I would buy into that more if Rush hadn't already had a title shot, because I think he's ready. Like, there's nothing wrong with him that you say, no, don't push him. I just think that he already had the title shot. So hopefully they get behind that. Like you said, maybe that could build a trilogy type of storyline. Yep. Rush has done a good job in Japan, too. It feels like the fans take to his wrestling. I'd be down with that. Poor Desperado. I could see that getting some negative response. I think if anybody wins besides Desperado, I could see some negative responses. I'm like the English-speaking side of New Japan. Nobody, no matter who it is. Even Rush is a great wrestler. Like, I love that guy. I think he's a tremendous performer. But I think if anybody wins, but I think especially if it's Hiromu again winning, you may get some negativity. But I like what they've done with the tournament. I like the booking. I think that they're going to get it right one way or the other. I have a little bit of confidence in this whole company right now. I think they've,
it's crazy, right?
Yeah, they've made a lot of great moves, and I wanted to bring this up because we didn't really get to talk about it that much on there. I wanted to bring up the main event of Dominion, the title match.
Yes.
Yeah. Tsuji. Like I said, because last episode
We talked about it in DMs a little bit, but we've not gotten into too deep. So yeah, Yuta Tsuji did. What about him?
Yeah, because last episode we talked about it, and I remember us talking, and one of us said that it would probably be too soon. Mm-hmm. And I was so out of it that I probably agreed, but the more I thought about it, like the longer I thought about it, I thought, man, I watched that thing, and obviously I was hyped about that debut on there. But really thinking about it, he should win the title. Like, so Tsuji should win the title against Sonata. I look at Sonata, and he's done fine in his role. Nothing to complain about as a champion. But then you see Tsuji. You see this beast coming in here, destroying all five guys, and spearing the soul out of Sonata's body, putting him in the Shadow Realm, dragging his ass back to out of the Shadow Realm, putting him in the Seal of Orichalcos, hitting him with 15 different attacks in a row. The max you can have is 8. Even after his life points hit 0, he hit him again and again and again, all in one move. You see this man. He comes out, and I watched his entrance when he came out. The crowd popped when his name popped on the screen. Nobody could really tell who it is when he was walking out because he had the hood on and everything. But when his name popped on the screen, he loved it. They cut to him, and he had this Nakajima-esque smile.
Oh, and such a tremendous smile, yeah.
Even better than Nakajima now that he's shaved. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Right.
He lost a little bit with the shave, is all I'm saying. Tsuji has not made that mistake yet that Nakajima did. He has realized, I've got the beard. I've got this psychopath smile. I can beat the hell out of people. I come in black shirt, muscled out, look like a badass. This guy carrying the title, give it to the man. He can get it done. I have a lot of faith in his future. I think Tsuji should win the title.
Yes, and the thing that makes me more and more confident about this being an actual title change is the thing that is because they really put this match on a card with just a few days of build behind it. They are not really, none of these guys are on any kind of shows right now. The only shows that they'll be on will be the 22nd and the 28th show, the finals of the Best of the Super Junior. There will be probably two tag matches to heat it up. And they're putting everything behind these two to headline this this big show for New Japan Pro Wrestling. And they are playing this up to be a kind of an upset. Because if they continue to book Tsuji in more and more matches, if they had continued to book him on more and more matches on this tour and to build him up as a beast, I think the upset would be a little bit less impactful than it would be if he just beats Sanada coming out of the gates hot with only his second or third match back in New Japan. So I think a lot of reasons are behind Yota Tsuji actually making the big splash in New Japan. And realistically, also, Dylan, it would be the cherry on top of the first half of this year, where New Japan, much like you said, has made tremendous moves into different new directions, something that we have been wishing and wanting and crying for in the last couple of years of pandemic hell in New Japan. And they are making moves again, and that would be the ultimate move here.
To me, I couldn't agree more. What a great way to wrap up the first half of what's been a really tremendous year. Even when, and I think too, if that happens, that really elevates my opinion of the Sonata title reign as well. Because again, it's nothing against Sonata, but I thought Okada was at such a great level when he lost the title. He had so much gas left in the tank if they wanted it. Mm-hmm. Even though he's been champion before, I love what he's been doing. But if you craft this to where Tsuji is the new guy, yeah, that opens up so many great things for him in LIJ, him in the Five Guys, or him with the Five Guys, him with Okada. You could build to that as a big match in the future. You know, you have so many different options you can go with that would all be interesting. So to me, I'm all on board the Tsuji train right now. I just love what he did. And the thing is, we know he's a good wrestler too. Like, it's not like this is a guy who's gotten all negative reviews. He's some bum that, you know, they brought in somebody who can't get it done in the ring. We know that he's performed well on Excursion.
Yep.
So to see him come and show his full potential in the ring, I'm really hype about it. I'm so excited about this main event. And they've shown, it's just that, like you said, yet another example of making good moves all throughout the year. And even stuff I've questioned has ended up working out so far. So I really like what they're doing. We talked about the tournament earlier. I have faith they'll get it right. And with Tsuji and Sonata, if that happens too, again, not only would you elevate Tsuji, you've spent this last 3 months elevating Sonata as well. Now that he's won the title. So you've really, in essence, built two new main event players in the span of 3 months, if that were to play out. And I think that's the best for everybody. And on top of it, Tsuji walking in all together as the champion. Walking in Forbidden Door as the champion. Like, this guy gets big pushes, big spots right away, to the point where also, too, with those things in mind, it's not even like he needs to just hold on to the title forever. You can afford a quick, maybe not like right away, right? Give him a defense at least. But he doesn't have to hold the title that long because he'll have a lot of moments in the span of a month or two before the G1 that you can get to. So I think it really makes perfect sense when you analyze it at every level.
And I want to emphasize that Sanada winning wouldn't be the end of the world either.
No, he's done a fine job as champion.
Sure, but Tsuji just feels like the right call right now.
I just look at him. I just look at them, and I just see Sanada. He's doing fine. I see Tsuji, and I see a megastar.
Yeah.
Waiting, you know, like pull the trigger, like don't push back.
There's no reason to wait.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
No reason right now. Yeah,
totally agree.
Yep. Good. Then I think that's all that we have for now. Talked about All Japan, talked about All Together at New Japan. Really high on New Japan and high on the tournament so far. Can't wait to catch the next set of shows for the BOSJ and just great times in wrestling, though.
Absolutely. So hype about the tournament. I think they've done a great job halfway through. Me and Sandre, we covered the show on the Patreon. And we'll cover it again in the next couple of days as well, because there's another show coming up tomorrow as we record, too. So we'll get that, a little extra bonus Best of Super Juniors coverage going in there. And all kinds of stuff going on in wrestling. Like you said, the end of the month is going to have a couple of big shows for various things. Yeah, just a really happy time in wrestling right now. So let's hope the good times can continue. We get some good things going, because I think a lot of companies have some momentum. We're heading it right into All Together, first time in over a decade, and I think that should be a lot of fun and a lot of interesting things for me and you to talk about, too, which is always my favorite thing, obviously.
Yes. So,
yeah, great things ahead, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed us running down the tournament, talking about Tsuji, going over All Japan, all the fun stuff we talked about. Hopefully everybody out there really enjoyed it.
Yes, I enjoyed it as well, and I hope that everybody also enjoys this tournament, enjoys everything that we have going. We are going towards the half-year awards once again, Dylan, so already thinking about some candidates. We've talked about one off the air that will probably be named in the half-year awards, so that's going to be fun time as well.
Oh, man, that's always some of our... The award shows are always two of my favorite shows of the whole year. And the half-year awards is always fun because it gives us a kind of tentpole point at the end of the year we can look back on and see what changes. There may be some guys we nominate in the half-year, and we look back at 6 months and think, damn, what the hell was he thinking nominating this, like this guy, and like he totally fell off, or there could be a guy that nobody even thought of, you know, that was not even nominated at all and somehow winds up at the year end. So I love the half year awards because it gives us a great like thing to look back on in the future and plant our pole in. So I'm very much hyped for the half year awards. Keep your eyes peeled for that, you know, at a month and change, so to speak.
That's all for now. Thank you all for listening and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLW Radio Network.